You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yak Gadget. Made in America. Based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the153anglers.com to place your order today.
This segment is brought to you by Jigmasters. Step up your game with high-quality performance jigs, spinnerbaits, buzzbaits, and more from Jigmasters.com. And always, when in doubt, get the jig out.
You're listening to Bass Fishing for Noobs, the Paddle and Fin Podcast, with your hosts Ryan Milford and Sean Lavery.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs here on the Paddle and Fin Podcast. I am your host, Sean, and with me, as always, is my trusty co-host, Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, man?
And not much. Just chilling here on a kind of busy Wednesday afternoon, evening, I guess.
Just trying to make it, man.
And tonight we have, for the first time since I've been a host of the Noob Show, Mr. Jackson Orr. So welcome back, Jackson.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
It must have been a while because I've been on this segment for at least a year now.
Yeah, it's been like a year and a half since
Jackson.
Yeah,
it's been a while. Yeah.
He listened a lot too.
So
yeah, he was... I want to say he was within my first couple of months of being on Paddle and Fin. I mean, back then I was in the shed. I didn't have a background. I was still using my phone and not a laptop. I didn't have a mic. I was using my Apple headphones with the little mic on it. You know, it was ghetto back then. So, like, we can do this like it's the first time Jackson's been on here now that we're, like, more official.
No, this is awesome.
Things have changed quite a bit for everyone involved, I imagine. So, well, again, welcome back. That makes it a year to me, you know, going from 43 to 44 isn't a big deal. But when you're at Jackson's age, man, a year is a big deal.
Yeah.
How old are you now, Jackson?
Senior. I'm 18 right now.
So you're about to graduate.
Yep, I'll graduate here in the next, like, month and a half, and then in August, I'll move down to Tennessee, and I'm going to fish on Carson Newman's fishing team, so I'm super excited.
Nice. That's awesome. We're going to have to get together when you're in Tennessee.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, I'd love to do that.
So, are you selling the kayak? Are you going to be doing any more, like, the kayak tournaments, or are you going to be strictly focusing on your college fishing team?
Yeah,
and on the boat and all that.
Yeah, so I'm gonna keep. I got on the, very blessed to be on the regional fishing team. So I'm gonna work along with Hobie when I'm in college and do everything I can to promote them. And I'll be fishing, as many kayak tournaments as I can. But I am gonna kind of focus on that bass boat scene and the college bass fishing aspect of it, and then hopefully. Along the road, like maybe late freshman year, early sophomore year in college, get a bass boat and start to work my way up and fish like the opens and everything. So I'm excited.
Wow, that's awesome.
Thank you.
How much experience do you have boat fishing now versus kayak? I mean, obviously you're well versed in kayak, but I think I think I remember hearing that you fished a lot with your dad on a bass boat, right?
Not really with my dad, but I actually have quite a bit of experience on a bass boat, just fishing. I used to fish for my high school, like a club, not really affiliated with my high school, but it was, we kind of like made our own club since our high school doesn't support bass fishing. So I did that for 2 years, and then my partner graduated, and unfortunately there's no one around here that really like is into bass fishing like I am. So I did that, and then I did like Wednesday nighters, like Wednesday just on like the local lake, like 50 minutes away. So it's been fun.
Cool. So yeah, that shouldn't be a huge leap for you then. Obviously you've got some experience doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got to learn, you know, the aspects of like the motor. If something breaks down, I got to learn how to fix it. But other than that, you know, I mean, everything's a learning experience, I guess.
Right. Right. I wish I would have started when I was your age, you know, because just starting a couple of years ago, I feel like, you know, how much time I wasted. But
yeah.
So cool, man. Well, I mean, obviously, I think the last time you were on, where Ryan said that you guys talked a little bit of Wacky Rig. And I think back before I was hosting anything, I you gave away some Wacky Rig hooks on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually won some from you. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
I remember that. Yes.
So I was I don't know if that's where I got started. I think I had already been fishing Wacky Rig a little bit, but it definitely was helpful, you know, to see what you use. And because those were not the kind of hooks I was using, but I definitely started using them after that. And have been successful with them. So we just need to get Ryan into the Wacky Rig game.
No, those are awesome hooks. Yeah.
I'm starting to get more into the finesse thing. You know, Ned Rig's been my thing. You know, you got to do this a little at a time, okay? You got me throwing a spinning reel. So, a little bit at a time.
No, that's all. I love finesse. I mean, that's probably one of my main things that, you know, like that's what I'd rather throw is finesse than like power fishing, I guess.
I feel like, I mean, power fishing has still got its place, but I feel like nowadays there's so many people fishing and so many competitive fishermen out there where finesse is kind of like, if you don't have finesse, it's hard for you to compete.
Yeah, that's very true. I agree with that.
So, you know, like we said, it's been a year and a half since I've like talked to you on here. So, you know, back then I remember we talked about like the Wacky Rig and a little bit about the Nico Rig. Stuff like that. Are those still, you know, like some of your, like, I guess, go-to techniques, or they changed, or have you improved on those, or how's that?
No, for sure. I love the Wacky Rig. I mean, I like, no matter if it's like winter, spring, summer, like whatever, I'll always have one ready to go. Like I said, like I use their Trocar Pro V Bend finesse hooks. They're a weird shaped hook. I mean, they've got that like V bend in it, and they work like it's insane. Like from using like circle hooks and like smaller Wacky Rig hooks to using that big, like I use a 1/0 hook, which is kind of big. But those work perfect. Like I don't really have any trouble losing fish. Like granted, I do lose some fish on it, but my hookup percentage on it is, I mean, it's incredible.
And you say it works for you. Even in the winter, is that right? Like, how cold are we talking?
Okay. In Indiana, like at like private ponds, I guess. I've never really tried it in lakes, but in private ponds, I'll use it in the winter, like fishing in like 12, 15 feet of water.
Okay. And just letting it sink the whole way?
Yeah, like I'll actually use it as a Nico rig. I'll put like a nail weight in the fat end of the Senko. I use like a Gary Yamamoto, usually like Green Pumpkin or like Red Cross Senko, something like that, or Hot Cross Senko, and just put it in the fat end.
Okay. Yeah, I when I first started with the Wacky Rig, I felt like I wasn't very patient, and so I always fished it weighted, whether it was just a split shot crimped on the hook, or then I started buying the weighted Wacky hooks, and so that was another big change when I started trying the hooks that you gave me, and definitely had to learn to be patient and let it sink.
Yeah.
And the first time I think I, you know, just dropped it over and watched it, I'm like, holy cow, I can still see it. I can still
see it. It's painful.
but it works, and yeah. You know, and it's especially, you know, right now, at least here in Pennsylvania, the fish are finally starting to move up shallow, and then I don't have to be a patient because they a lot of times are hungrier and are hitting it a lot quicker. So I didn't have as much luck with it in the winter, but I also wasn't as patient as I probably needed to be. So.
I'm with you. Yeah. It's painful using it, but like you said, it works. It gets the job done.
And, now y'all going to make me want to do it.
You should.
To me, and I think it'll keep working from now until, you know, well into the fall. You know, it kind of died off for me kind of late fall, like October, November-ish. Mm-hmm. But if I can fish that many months with it and have it be productive, then that makes me a happy camper.
Yeah, so. For sure.
Now the challenge for me is to not bring it so that I, you know, broaden my horizons a little bit. And I don't use it in the – do you use it in moving water as much? Like that's one place in the river I haven't had as much luck. I mostly use it on my lakes.
Yeah, I mean, I have before, like in Pennsylvania, I fished a Susky event last year.
You were close to me there. Yeah, I was only – I live about a half hour south of where you guys were.
Okay, I'm with you. I used it a little bit up there, not during the tournament, but during practice I did catch a couple. But I mainly, like you said, that Ned rig, I love that thing. I mean, that's probably like one of my favorite baits to throw of all time because it catches fish no matter what. I mean, if it's tough, if it's good fishing.
Dorito bite.
Yep. Dan Perry's going to get money out of that.
Yeah.
He basically says, you know, yeah, go ahead, Ryan, you can explain it.
I mean, he calls it the Dorito bite.
All right. Like,
you know, you got your reaction bite, you got their bite because, you know, they're actually trying to feed. Mm-hmm. And then the Dorito bite, you know, say me and you were sitting beside each other, you already ate, so you're full, you're not hungry.
Yeah.
But I say, hey, you want a Dorito? You're probably going to take a Dorito, like just because it's a Dorito. You know?
That's funny.
So, like the Ned rig you put in front of them, like, oh, let me just snack on this real quick.
That's awesome. I've never heard of that before. That's so cool to look at it.
It was Dan Perry. You know, he pulls one out every now and then.
That's so true.
So, how do you go ahead, Ryan? I was going to say I was going to ask how he fishes that in the river because
that's what I was about to say. Because we talked about that recently, like you were asking me, because I've got to where I'm using like a 1/15 ounce head, and you're asking me if I use that in the river. I'm like, I haven't used it in the river yet, so I'm not sure. So, yeah, we'll see. I guess we're both curious how you use it in the river, what, like how much weight you use and all that.
Right, with the Ned rig or the Wacky rig?
Ned rig.
Ned rig, okay. I mean, I do it multiple ways. Like, I just fished the Tippy Canoe River, the paddle and fin event, actually. And
won.
I caught all my fish on a Ned rig. And what I was doing was, you know, I'd find this, like, these pocket areas where the water was moving slower, like eddies kind of, and throwing them in there. And there was always a fish in there. Most of the times it was smaller. But I would just drag it, drag the Ned rig. And then I'd also, in faster moving water, I'd kind of swim the Ned rig. So it kind of looked like a minnow. Cause those, you could tell the smallmouth were chasing these bait and I had a swim bait tied on, but you know, I had that Ned rig in my hand. So I just wanted to try reeling it in. And I mean, I was swimming it and I was catching them on that against like riprap and timber and everything.
Okay.
That's interesting. So what weight were you using for those?
Yeah, my favorite weight of all time is a 10. That's my favorite weight. I'm always throwing that. If I'm fishing like deeper water, I'll use like a fifth. But I really like that 10th ounce.
And you look for the slowing mover water. I think that might have been part of my problem because every time I threw it, the current was just carrying it, like I had no feel for it whatsoever, you know.
Yeah Look for those like eddies and everything, and then like anything that like looks different on the shoreline, that's kind of what I was targeting, like what someone wouldn't cast at, because I was fishing behind everyone on that river, And so I'd slow down, just like focus, like cast at things I don't think people would cast that, and, you know, work the bait a little different.
And do you fish it weedless, or do you just open hook?
I don't. I personally, I don't really like fishing Ned rigs weedless. I do go through a lot of like net heads and everything, but to me, it's kind of worth it if you have extras with you, because I for some reason I just don't like fishing it weedless.
Now, you know, on my Ned rig setup, I use my leader is 6 pound fluorocarbon.
Okay.
So in a river situation, you know, you got a lot of rocks and stuff like that generally. Do you change your line size for like a river situation, or you use the same, or?
I mean, not really. I actually, a lot of people think it's weird, but on my spinning reels, I don't use braid. I use straight fluoro just for the sake, because like, if you break off a lot, it's like, I just feel like it's more like you take less time just tying a regular knot than tying like a uni knot or something. But I've always, on my spinning reels, I don't really switch it up that much unless I'm in like crystal clear water, but I always use 10 pound fluoro. That's all I usually use.
Do you have a particular brand? Because I know some of the cheaper fluoros, when I've spooled an entire spool of it, tend to have memory a little bit.
Yeah, I for my spinning reels, I'll use InvisX, a Seaguar line. I use any kind of Seaguar line for my spinning reels. I don't really like to use Red Label though on my spinning reels. I will use Red Label on my bait casters. It's got this weird memory in it for spinning, but other than that, any other Seaguar line.
On that note, I want to do a quick shout out real quick.
Okay.
You know, when I first switched to fluoro, like started using fluoro at all, you know, I'm cheap, so I went with some of the cheapest stuff I could get, and I got Berkeley Vantage. And even, you know, I believe to this day, Jody Queen says that's all he uses is Berkeley Vantage. He says people gave him crap about it, but it works for him. And all. Well, I've used several other brands, you know, tried to get some of the nicer stuff and all that. Well, just recently, I think I was at Walmart, and all they really had, you know, I was trying to get a line from the leaders for my Ned rig setup, and all they really had in fluoro was that Berkeley Vantage. So I bought the 6 pound, and I was a little worried about it, because even Jody said he the smallest he uses is 17. You know, he don't go any lower than that, so he can't attest to that. But 17 and up, he likes it. Man, it's done phenomenal. That 6 pound Berkeley Vantage is like what, 12, 13 bucks for a spool. You know, probably some of the cheapest fluoro you can get. It comes off really straight right off the spool. Like, I don't know. I think I got to go with Jody on this.
That's
one.
That's awesome.
Like, it might be cheap, but it's job done.
That's awesome.
I do have some of that too. I think I picked up some, and I've been using it for leader material. And I actually tried the FluoroClear that Brian Schiller actually kind of recommended.
Oh, the P-Line?
P-Line. And I actually didn't like it.
I hate like that stuff. It's too much stretch to me.
Yeah, I used to use that too. Yeah, I agree.
And I was like, wow, I just, especially on even like wacky rigging, I could tell just working it that I was like, it just feels really spongy to me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I lost fish due to that. Yeah, when I was in Kentucky last May, I hung into one. Looking at it, I'm going to guess it was 5.5, 6 pounds. And I didn't get a good hook set on it because that stretch, and he got off. It still haunts me to this day. I can see it swimming off.
Those are the worst.
So, Jackson, what is your personal best now at this point? I mean, you've had to have caught some lunkers.
Yeah, my personal best lengthwise, I actually, it's funny, I was pre-fishing for the national championship on Gunnersville last year. And I caught it during practice. I didn't have my measuring board with me, but I made sure to, like, measure it on my rod. and it was anywhere between like 23 and 24. It wasn't fat though. It was probably only like, I don't know, 6.5, 7 pounds. But my personal best weight wise is like 9.2. I caught out of a pond though, so I don't really count it. But.
did you get a length on that?
It was only like 22 and a half. Like, it was insane.
Wow, so that was a fat fish.
It was insane. Like, it was insane. Like, it was a fat fish.
Well, that's crazy.
I just heard Bailey Egbert talking on Armando's show about a 24-inch, or what was it? Something, oh, no, it was a 17-inch smallmouth, but it was also 17 inches around.
Yeah.
He was describing it as a bowling ball with a tail. I can't even imagine. Yeah.
It was crazy. Like the one I caught out of a golf course pond, and the shoulders on it was insane. I was like I went in the water for it. I was like, holy smokes. Like this thing, I thought it was way longer than 22 and a half. Like it was like, I was like, holy smokes. Like I thought it was about to be like 23, 24. It was crazy.
That's awesome. I'm still, yeah. Ryan's definitely got me beat in the PB category. He has a 23 inch plus, right?
Dang, that's a big fish.
Well, I don't mean to brag, but yeah, it's 23. It that's almost awesome. Reached a quarter, but it's 23.
Was it pretty fat?
Yeah, yeah. It was a nice fish.
That's awesome.
I actually caught it back in December. On a Jigmasters underspin, jigmasters.com.
That's awesome.
Shameless plug. But yeah, we didn't have a scale. We're estimating it to be around 8. And honestly, it could have been a little more than that.
Yeah.
But I think it was at least 8. It was
That's a big fish.
Now I kind of want to pull it up.
Just a trip down memory lane. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, Jackson, did the paddle and fin tournament go as you expected, or was it, you know, kind of, you know, I don't know how it compares to some of the other tournaments you fished, but what was your experience like?
It was awesome. Like there was camera boats on the water. It was very well ran. Like, the captain's meeting, I couldn't attend it, but one of my buddies could, and he said it was awesome. Like, everyone, you know, was following COVID stuff, and they just all had a good time and talked to each other. And then award ceremony was amazing. It went very smoothly. Like, I'm definitely – and they paid out. Like, I was so surprised at how much I got. There was only 11 anglers, and first place was $800. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's
crazy. I was very surprised. Like, I'm definitely gonna be fishing more of those for sure.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the Northeast trail to come through, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think paddle and fins next one. I could be wrong, but I think it's on like the cold water chain. I think I know they have one there. I don't know if it's their next one.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it not?
Is yeah, it, I'll definitely
there we go. One. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it looks like the next one's Coldwater Chain on the May 15th.
So that, yeah, that one's definitely coming up. Yeah. So
that'll be a fun one. I think that one will take a lot to win. Everyone will catch fish there. Everyone will.
I hope so.
That's a good place.
How do you prepare for that kind of, like, I mean, I'm sure these are a lot of different kinds of places, right? How do you, oh, there it is.
Oh, dang, that's a big fish.
That's awesome. See that fish in my nightmares, man. It just is constantly slapping me in the face.
Yeah, that looks a little bigger than 8. That's a big fish.
Yeah, and honestly looks small to me there compared to what it did in person. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a nice surprise.
That's awesome.
You were lucky that you weren't by yourself. You had somebody to take that nice
shot.
Well, you know, I was with Ethan Jett, who we had back in the had on here back in the fall, and then we were with like one of my best friends that I've been best friends with since high school, and I get this thing in, and I'm like, all right, somebody's got to get my picture with it. I don't want, like, just a selfie because we probably can't get the whole thing in the picture anyways. And two, like, I want a good shot of it. Well, my so-called best friend just jumps in, gets in front of me and starts casting where I just hung into him. And I'm like, thanks, buddy. So Ethan got the picture for me.
That's funny.
Oh, my.
So have you developed any, like, new favorite techniques?
I mean, not really. I've kind of just stuck to what I like doing, and that's, like, the wacky rig, the Ned rig. I have done a little bit of Carolina rigging. I'm not a huge fan of that, but it does work. And then I really love throwing, like, vibration jigs. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Are you, like, jackhammer or are you?
Yeah, I throw a tungsten knocker from Picasso, and then I'll throw a jackhammer. But I mean, any vibration jig does the trick. Like, especially when it's windy out. When it's windy out, that's like the only thing I'm throwing. I'm finding a weed line and just chucking and winding. I love doing that.
Well, see, it seems like everybody, like big name, like y'all, that throws a chatterbait, vibrating jig, whatever you want to call it, is throwing a jackhammer. And so it almost gets to the point where, like, I get tired of hearing about a jackhammer.
Yeah.
Like, okay, like, I don't even want to throw it now because, like, everybody's throwing it apparently.
Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be unique, and it's not so unique when everybody's throwing it.
Right.
But, hey, it's still that's just me, and I don't know anything, especially compared to y'all. So, you know, if it's still working for y'all, it's still working for y'all. Like,
well, I think Armando mentioned about that too, saying, you know, there's times where now he goes through and throws an original chatterbait behind people just because it's enough of a difference from the jackhammer that the fish don't necessarily see it as often. So,
right. That's very true. Yeah.
And it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah. A lot cheaper.
I actually was able to get one of the original original chatterbaits in Firecrawl.
Oh, awesome. Really?
That's the first time I had seen the original in Firecrawl, and they were out of the jackhammers in Firecrawl, so
I got the original. That's awesome.
I didn't realize they were doing that now.
Yeah, me neither.
Apparently, and you know, I could just take the skirt off and put it on a jackhammer.
Oh my! So, I wanted to ask you also about St. Croix. Drawing a blank on the new rods. What are
the Victory series?
Yes. How much have you got to use those?
Yeah. So I only have one. I've got to fish two. I've got to fish. They're heavy. A 7.3 heavy, and then I've got a 7.1 medium heavy right now. I absolutely love them. I mean, for the price, like, it's insane. Like, they are everything you could ask for in a rod. For the price. I mean, the price is under $200. It's a great overall rod, and I've caught a lot of fish on it this year so far.
I was actually, I had broken one of my other St. Croix, so I called them up and, you know, just to see what options I have. And they have a very good upgrade program when,
mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, and, but he's like, unfortunately right now we can't upgrade you to a Victory rod. We're not doing that yet. And I was like, oh man. So yeah. I have to be a little more patient with that, but I'm looking forward to trying them out because I have mostly the Mojo Bass series, or
yeah,
I have Mojo Yak.
Yeah.
And I really like those, so I was excited to give the Victory rods a try because everything I've read and heard about them sounds amazing. Yeah. So
have you fished the Avid X before by St. Croix?
I haven't. They did actually offer that to me as an upgrade. Okay. So I was looking on the I was looking on their website to try and find those because I wasn't sure, but that I will definitely, if where does that fall in their lineup? Like,
I was just going to compare the Abdex to the Victory. I mean, to me, they seem like super similar. Like, okay. It's insane, but I mean, the Avid X is right above like 200. I think it runs like 230. I could be wrong. But I mean, it's a very nice rod. I use that for like my vibration jig, big worms, like a 7'1", 7'2".
Okay. I don't have any heavy rods, so I was actually looking at that, the Victory 7 7.4 or 7.3
okay,
heavy.
Yeah.
Just because I was like, you know what, I have enough medium and medium heavy casting rods. I was like, maybe I should just trade it in for a heavy, and then so I'll have to look and see what the Avidex comparison to that is.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely should.
I will have to do some more research. So just don't tell my wife. Honey, if you're listening, I'm sorry. She doesn't listen, thankfully.
I guess it's the good thing about having a wife that don't fish, huh?
Well, I'd actually rather her fish at this point, but you know, I'll take what I can get.
Well, see, then you got to spend that amount of money on her, too. So you're really breaking out some money then. I'd or just okay pass her all your hand-me-downs.
There you go. There you go.
Or she can pass you her hand-me-downs.
Right, right. I'll take, yeah, like I said, you know, I end up breaking most of mine. That's how I get new rods. So.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
You break a lot of rods, Jackson?
I do, actually. I probably break, I don't know, in a year I'll probably break like, I don't know, 10 rods. It's kind of bad.
What?
It's kind of bad. I probably broke 10 rods last year.
Like, what are you doing to break them? Like, are you like boat flipping or what?
No, I've only broke like one rod to boat flipping. Last year was a bad year with equipment. I've had a lot of equipment issues last year, but it wasn't really the equipment's fault. I fished some fast moving rivers and everything, and my rods would get like hung up on a tree or something, or like bent. But I don't know. I have not broke any rods this year. I have not.
Knock on wood.
I got some wood right here. Knock on wood. But no, last year at St. Croix, I mean, they're awesome about it. I was fortunate to get all of them replaced, but they're super cool about it and got it. It's called like the Accelerator Program. It's a very good program.
Yep, I have used it twice already, so yeah. I'm very familiar. Yeah, yeah. Overhanging trees seem to be my issue as well.
Yeah, I like lay my rods down like by me, because like I have like casted back like that, and I hook one, and then I'll break a rod tip. But like when I have them laid down, I won't pay attention, and I'll run into like a tree stump, and then they're all kind of. I mean, they're all there.
So. I had that kind of situation happen recently. We actually talked about it, where I had mine laying down on the side with a crankbait, and I was using a different rod and got hung up, and I'm coming up looking where I'm hung up at over here, not paying attention to the other side, mm-hmm. and my crankbait caught a rod, and you know, I used pretty much all ducket rods, but my rod was like completely bent pretty much. I have no idea how it didn't snap. But yeah. I just grab it and get it up enough to, like, get it before it broke. I don't know. A lot of bend in those things, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess I haven't – I guess last year I never really snapped 10 rods, but, like, I'm, like, very particular, and I have to make sure, like, my rod, like, my eyes on my rods are, like, all fine and not scratched up or anything. So if I see like a dent or something, I'll send them in and they'll like replace it or something. So I guess I never snapped all 10 of them. I probably snapped like 4 or 5 maybe, but still, that's kind of a lot.
Yeah, I snapped one and that hurt enough.
Oh, believe me, I cry when I snap them for sure. But
yeah, if it's a very important one, I will like, I always try to have extras with me. Like I always try to bring extras with me to tournaments of like my very important rounds. So.
I'm not quite there yet. I don't have too many extras.
It took me a long time.
I've got a few extra rods. They're all like my old cheap rods. You know, I don't want to use those anymore. I got nice ones.
Yeah.
How does fishing for the school work? Do they cover you with that at all, or is it all your own equipment? Or how does that work?
So I'll use my own equipment. Like I'll use my own rods. I'll use my own tackle. But the school's got like some pretty good sponsors, so they'll help us out a little bit with equipment and everything. And I mean, the school themselves, they'll help us out like with our fishing program and everything, and travel expenses and food and everything. So it'll be awesome. I'm really looking forward to getting down there. I mean, and just being in Tennessee, I mean, that's been like my dream since I was like 10, like. I just always wanted to be down there. I've always thought it was so beautiful, and all the lakes and rivers and everything. So,
Man, that's awesome. I'm so happy for you. Like, if anybody deserves a shot to be able to do that, it's you.
No, I appreciate it. It means a lot. I mean, seriously, like, you guys and then everyone, like, watching this, like, it's just, like, it's amazing. Like, I think about it sometimes, just, like, everyone who, like, got me here. Like, I mean, it may seem like I got here, like, because of me, but I did not get here by myself. Like so many people stand behind me, and, like, my sponsors, like, just, like, the community. Like, it's been a journey, and, like, I feel like the journey is not going to end. I feel like it's just going to keep going, and, you know, I'm just going to keep going where it takes me, I guess.
In that same respect, though, I mean, you've given a ton back too. Your charity tournaments. I mean, you've done some amazing things with that, and just your humble nature. Where, like, when I reached out to you about the wacky rigs, you know, you followed it up with a message and saying, you know, answered questions and all that. So, I mean, that it's definitely it's almost like, you know, I felt super special just because this big name angler was, you know, reaching out to me. And wow. I know it sounds silly, but to me at the time, it was a very big deal. So I appreciate that.
Oh, no.
He was like a little schoolgirl when you messaged him.
No. That means a lot to me, though. Seriously. Thank you.
And I also wanted to say, You know, Ryan and I have had interesting conversations about this, and I stuck my foot in my mouth one time when we talked about this, but I like the fact that you wear your faith on your sleeve, you know, literally, you know, right? I think, do you still write, like, a message on your hand?
Yeah, I can't fish a tournament without that on my hand. Crossing 3/23/24, that's, like, my favorite. Like, I just don't feel... Like, you know, I can't do it without him. Like, I can't fish without him. Like, I just don't feel right. Like, my head's just not there, you know?
And those kind of things, I mean, not a knock against anybody who, you know, doesn't necessarily do the same thing. But to hear someone in the public sector really, you know, put their faith out there is just such a refreshing thing to me because, you know, the world needs as much as it can get right now. So any little bit helps.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I got the idea from Tim Tebow when he played for Florida. He used to write a Bible verse, like, on his...
In his eye black? Yeah.
Yeah, right here. So, I mean, I got it from him. And, you know, it's kind of changed my life, not going to lie.
Hey, that's I have my favorite verse written on me every day. Well,
You got a tattoo of it?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's not really a grip. It looks like a prison tattoo. I swear I've never been to prison. But it's Matthew 6:27.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Which one is that one?
Who by worrying can add 1 hour to their life? Like, because I struggle with anxiety. Yeah. And basically saying, like, worrying don't do anything to help your situation, so quit worrying about stuff.
And for those of the listeners who don't know what yours is, Jackson, what is your Bible verse refer to?
Yeah, mine's Colossians 3:23-24. It's kind of long, but what it really means is like, through you fish for him, and no matter what, do well. Don't do well. At the end of the day, he's your reward, and like, he's always there with you, and you're gonna have your time. And I mean, to me, like, that means, like, I just try not to put pressure on myself. I just try to go out there. I just try to focus on him and know that he's with me. And no matter what, if I win, if I don't even catch a fish, that he's there after the tournament. And you know, I've got him as my reward, and I've got him to look forward to, and new tournaments to look forward to. So it's just, like, it kind of gets that chip off my back to, like, you know, not put too much pressure on myself. But no, it's a very good verse.
And just reading, like, when you do your tournament recaps, you can really see that in you know, the way you go over how you did. It's always, you know, well, you know, hey, I did awesome this tournament, but you know, all the glory is his. And same thing, you know, oh, I didn't have quite the experience that I was hoping to, but you know what, I have this. So that, to me, that's cool to hear, and I think a great message to spread around. So
no, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Amen. We're going to church on this episode, y'all.
Here we are.
That's all right. So I was trying to think of any other questions I have. What do you got, Ryan? Anything?
You know, I was thinking about it. I didn't ask it earlier when we were talking about it, but you were saying you use 10-pound line for a Ned rig. What rod are you using for that? Are you using, you know, 10-pound line out on a spinning combo, I would say would be a medium rod.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't put 10-pound on a medium light. I use a medium light for my Ned rig.
That's what I used to use, yeah. I use a 6-10 medium Mojo Bass spinning rod. It's perfect. I think actually on it, it's a drop shot rod. It actually like says it on like the handle of the rod. But I love it for Ned rig for some reason. Like it works. I've had really no problems about keeping tension on the fish. I used to use a medium light rod, like the Icon series of St. Croix. It's like their walleye series. I actually really liked it. I switched over because I kind of like to muscle my fish in a little bit more. So I went with the heavier one.
What do you throw your wacky rigs on then?
I use a 6-8 medium. Okay. Mojo Bass. Yeah, it's actually a wacky rig rod. It's perfect. Like the butt of the rod is a little thicker, so I mean you can get that hooks, or I guess you don't really hook set a wacky rig, but you get that lean back in it, and you know you get that that backbone into it.
Okay, so I'm trying to piece this puzzle together, because to me, using like a medium rod with 10-pound test, like I feel like you're gonna yank the fish's face off if you set the hook at all. What the Ned heads are you using? I guess more you can be specific on like the brand and style and everything, but I'm more worried about like the gauge of the hook, like how thick the hook is.
Yeah, I mean, I just use the Z-Man, just the Z-Man Ned heads, but it's weird. Now that I really think about it, like, I don't really set the hook hard with an Ned rig. Like, I just, like...
Well, you're not supposed to, but...
Yeah.
I use a... I'm on the Wicked Weights team.
Okay.
And so I'm using their little tungsten Ned heads, and it has a very light hook on it. So that right there, if I was using a heavier setup,
mm-hmm.
like, I feel like... it's just gonna rip right through there. Yeah. Where, you know, the Z-Man ones from the ones I've used, they do have a little bit thicker hook on there, so it does take a little more power to penetrate with those.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I've had times where like it scares me. Like I'll switch a Ned rig, like I'll literally just switch the head if I feel like a little wiggle and like the hook to the head. But like I've had times where like I've set the hook and my hook bent, so. Every time when I tie a new one on, I'll try to stretch it, but if I can't move it without like, you know, not too much power, because I don't want to like accidentally bend it, then you know I'd be fine. But if I can move it, I'll tie a new one on.
Interesting. Yeah, I've had them where I've gotten them snagged and kind of bent them out
to get
them out,
yeah.
And then. And then I'm taking my pliers and I'm like,
yeah, I've done that too.
Like, it'll be okay. It'll be fine.
That's what I do.
Doesn't have quite the same bend to it, but it'll work,
yeah,
right?
And then you're sitting there thinking, like, man, if I actually hang into a really good fish, like, yes. I'm going to be kicking myself.
Because and that's when it's going to happen, too.
That's right. So funny, because I thought that exact same thing when I was fishing the tippy. Like, I had that same thought. Like, I didn't have pliers on me, like where I can just grab them. So what I did was I pressed that Ned rig hook against the bottom of my Hobie and just tried to like bend it back, put a new TRD on and started casting. I had that exact same thought. Like I was like, what if I hook into a big fish? I better change it. Like it's worth my time.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I actually had that scenario I was talking about earlier where my other rod got snagged and bent over. I was actually hung up with a Ned rig over here, and that's what I was trying to get out. And when I got it out, all I got back was the head. the hook had broke off the head and was gone. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm trying to think of anything else I wanted to cover. Jackson, anything you wanted to shout out or any you know, what do you got coming up recently? I know you just said you were preparing some rods.
Yeah, so I've got a tournament on Lake Wawasee this weekend. It's an Indiana Kayak Anglers tournament. So I'd say there'd be like, I don't know, 70 to 90 people in the event. So it's going to be a decent event. So I'll probably prep. I have school at like 9:30 tomorrow till like 2 o'clock. So I'll practice like, I don't know, I'll probably get on the water at like 3:30 tomorrow, check out a few spots, and I'll practice Friday. So it'll be fun.
So we might be hearing your name on the reel down again whenever you win first place. You know, they're going over the results.
Hopefully. I hope so. I started off the season kind of rough. I mean, Seminole and Watts Bar, I mean, I had huge opportunities there. I just could not fulfill them. So hopefully I can start doing better and, you know, getting back on track.
Are most of your kayak angler, like the Indiana ones, that big of a turnout? I mean, that sounds like huge turnout.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know if they're the biggest local trail in the country. They might be, but like we'll typically, like the first event of the season, we'll at least get like 80 to 100 guys. And then from there on, it's like an average of probably like mid 70s, I'd say.
Wow.
That's crazy. So
it's a decent turnout.
That is. I mean, I'm at, in the Central PA kayak anglers, and I bet you we maybe, you know, for Central PA events anyway, usually have half that. That, you know,
that's still decent though.
I mean, yeah, it's not bad, and definitely, you know, some of them are bigger depending on the location and stuff. And we also do some mixed events with, you know, Maryland kayak anglers too, and those tend to be bigger. But
okay.
But for every event to be that big, that's saying something. That's a pretty good organization they got
going. It's awesome, yeah. Jason Young, and then my dad's actually on the board, and then Matt Gibson. They do a great job.
Cool.
One of my local clubs, KBFTN, they just had their season opener and had
I saw that.
People. How many people? Yeah,
49.
Okay.
And Russ Snyder's won.
I saw that.
Good. That's good for my fantasy team, you know.
Well, it's not a national event, so they don't count.
Oh, well, he's still doing good. So.
Sweet. Well, I think we've pretty much come to the end now, I believe. Jackson, anything else?
No? Yeah, thanks again, man.
Oh, yeah. Thank you guys. Seriously. I mean, it was awesome talking to you guys tonight. I had a lot of fun. It was an honor. And, you know, thank everyone who's watching tonight. It's been awesome.
Now, we appreciate you coming on here, man. And, you know, good luck with the college thing. I hope you go and dominate that the way you do.
Thank you. I appreciate it. World. Thank you.
You know, we'll be pulling for you.
Absolutely.
I've honestly never paid attention to, like, college fishing. Is that on TV anywhere or anything like that? Or
yeah, they'll put it on like TV, like the Outdoors Channel. Like they'll put the bigger events on TV. Like turn on the Outdoors Channel and you'll see like Carson Newman on TV. Like it's crazy. It's pretty awesome. It's getting bigger too. So I keep saying that, but I couldn't be more excited.
Well, I'll be looking for that just to see if I can see you on there. I want to see you. Kicking butt on there.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll get out fishing a couple times or more.
Oh yeah. I'm not really familiar with that school. What part of Tennessee is it?
It's Jefferson City, Tennessee. So it's like right on Cherokee Lake. It's like a little east from Knoxville, I think.
Yeah, so you'll still be a little ways away from me. I'm near Nashville, so.
Okay, yeah, so that's probably like 3.5 hours, 4 hours maybe, yeah.
But it's still not too bad. We can meet up on Del Hollow or something, you know.
That would be fun. I love that. Yeah. That would be fun.
Awesome. you want to shout out, you know, social media where people can follow you, sponsors, all that good stuff? You know the routine. Yeah. You've been on Paddle and Fin enough.
I mean, my Instagram is Jackson Orr Fishing, and then my Facebook, I mean, you probably just find it like Jackson Orr or whatever. But yeah, I mean, very thankful for you guys and for the opportunity. It's been awesome.
Sponsors?
Yeah, I mean, if you want me to name them,
let's hear it.
All right. No, I want to thank Picasa Lures. Obviously, St. Croix Rods, couldn't do without them. Gill Fishing, Hobie, Eagle Claw, Trocar. I recently got on with Rail Blaza and Yak Gear. Love their stuff. Tourney Tag, Dwayne Wally and Tourney X. Fishing Online, Calco's Fishing, Dakota Lithium, Dry Dock Marine Center, my local Hobie dealer. Very grateful for them. Real Tree Fishing, and then Kayak Cushion. I have like a leg problem, so the kayak cushion kind of, you know, helps me. I use it in the car too. I don't just use it in my kayak when I go on long distances, and that's the only way I can get through.
I just got mine about a month ago, and I love it so far. It definitely makes a difference.
Yes, they are awesome for sure.
I still got to get mine. You know, I've just had so much else going on that I haven't got the kayak cushion yet. But he's actually making one. He can put the Paddle and Fin logo on it.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah.
I got to get Brandon. Yeah. Everybody raves about how great he is. And he's in Tennessee, so.
Yeah. No, he's a great guy. Really great guy.
Awesome.
Oh, wait. It's my turn to close, ain't it? That's why you're just sitting there waiting. It's my turn to close. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks again to Jackson one more time for coming on here and talking with us. And once again, good luck in college and everything. Everybody, we appreciate y'all listening to us, checking us out. Check us out again next week. Till then, this has been Bass Fishing for Noobs, bringing you the techniques, tricks, and tips to help you rip more lips. Later, y'all.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler, the Angler Button, and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.